Welcome, Michaela.
Hi.
Thank you for sparing a little bit of time right before the festival.
No problem.
It's only a few days before it all begins. Is this kind of more Christmas Eve or the night before the big game for you?
This is the time when I'm just incredibly anxious about a lot of international flights landing on time. So once they all safely touch down in Australia, then it will feel like Christmas.
So there's nothing left to put together anymore?
No, it's all just production and admin from here on in. So we've got a very firm plan and hopefully it all unfolds beautifully.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it's not Christmas Eve then. You're not assembling the proverbial bike ready for the present the next day.
No, that's right.
Excellent. So as long as everyone arrives, it's fine.
Yes, that would be the first biggest hurdle. I think everything else we can probably manage.
Look, it's an absolutely fantastic program that you've put together, and you've put it together around the theme of the Year of Power.
Mm.
In your address at the program launch, you noted the stunning shifts that were occurring over the last 12 months. You talked also of the shaking of old power structures and the rise of marginalised voices. And you made note of the film Black Panther, the comic was recently authored by Ta-Nehisi Coates. It had become this cultural touchstone. But in the short time since your speech, that we've seen Kendrick Lamar win the Pulitzer Prize, Alexis Wright took out the Stella Prize for her collective memoir of activist Tracker Tillman. What was it like over the year of programming this lineup on the theme of power when you were seeing these changes happening daily? Were you nervous that something big was going to happen at the last minute?
No, not particularly. I mean, it's really just felt like a really lovely, positive groundswell over the last few months. I mean, the events that you mentioned have been wonderful to watch. And I think there's a real new sense of appreciation for stories that relate to vast corners of this world, and the people in them are worth telling and are exciting to tell, and most importantly that there's an audience there for them. So we're hoping to carry a little bit of that spirit across the festival as well.
And not just the stories, but the storytellers, the voices that are really coming to prominence. And I feel like they're highlighted in your program. Mm. Is there anyone that you want to draw out for particular mention in terms of the voices that you've collected?
Yeah, Alexis Okeoro is worth a mention. She is a staff writer for The New Yorker. She reliably produces some of the best long-form journalism, and she is here to talk about her incredible narrative non-fiction book, A Moonless, Starless Sky. She spent a couple of years in Africa interviewing people, like just very ordinary, everyday people who are resisting extremism in their own ways, including a group of 12 and 13-year-old girls who wanted to play basketball regardless of the fact that they could very likely be killed for doing this. And their mothers were really supportive of it. And it's just an extraordinary, really real story of the lengths that people will go to live the lives that they want to. So she'll be speaking at opening night and then later again in the week, and I think she'll be a real highlight.
That sounds fascinating. Yeah, just the strength of these voices. And as you say, you know, everyday ordinary voices are really our voices, the people who just go about their day to day. And I think that's something we've definitely learned in the last year, that we don't have to listen to the people that we're told to listen to. Everyone has a voice, and that coming to voice is so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've gathered a wealth of voices from the realm of journalism, podcasting, documentary, as well as fiction writers who are always a strong featuring. We live in a world where the cry fake news goes up every time a particular leader hears something that they disagree with.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of fair to say. So what can reading and reading widely and something like a writer's festival, which celebrates both, teach us about using our critical faculty in all domains?
Well, we actually have a session dedicated exactly to this. It's called How the News Has Changed, that looks at even the changes over the last couple of months and past year and the 24-hour news cycle that we're all in. And yes, these cries of fake news. So we've got some really incredible journalists from all around the world talking about how they've seen their roles change over the last couple of years of their career, and sort of hopefully advising us about what we need to be thinking critically about and what we should be trusting and what we should perhaps be questioning.
Yeah, it strikes me. I mean, you hear this cry of fake news, and I think anyone who reads maybe more than one news source or one newspaper, does anyone read newspapers? More than one Twitter feed would be familiar with this idea that there are always competing narratives. So I like these opportunities to celebrate the way competing narratives can come together. And it's up to us. It's up to us as the reader. We're not passive, are we? We are not these agents. We're not these people that things happen to. We are agents in our own, I guess, enjoyment, but also thinking about those narratives as they're presented to us.
Yeah, definitely. I think particularly the type of people who go to writers' festivals certainly fall within that group of perhaps the more critically thinking among our society.
There you go, 2SER listeners. You are the people who are going to think critically about this and get along to the Writers' Festival and maybe drag some of your friends along. It's in a different site this year, so don't just blindly go down to Walsh Bay.
Don't do that.
You may have a beautiful day on the harbour, but you are going to be sadly lacking in stimulating conversation from fantastic writers. The new festival site's actually at Carriage Works.
Yeah.
In Everly. Thank you for that, by the way.
Oh, very convenient for you, is it?
Much closer to home. So it means I think I'm going to be able to just hit up plenty more events this year because you can sort of come and go. Look, the site it's a fantastic site for anyone who hasn't been there. It's seen events as diverse as Mercedes Fashion Week, FBI Turns 10, which saw like 8,000 people descend on the site, just to give anyone who hasn't seen it this idea of the scale, as well as there's a host of resident companies creating multimedia installations. What were the challenges, but also the opportunities that this new venue presented to you?
The challenges were that we had to rethink almost every element of what we've done to put a festival together from the ground up. But in some ways, that's been really good because it means that we haven't just done what we did the year before because that's the way it used to be. So a lot of things have hopefully refined and improved. But the opportunity is that we're moving to a brand new part of town. It also has a much younger demographic. It's really close to the University of Sydney, and it's also a lot more accessible than Walsh Bay. There's 3 train stations within an easy walk of Carriage Works and the Seymour Centre. So we're really hoping that our old beloved audience will follow us there quite happily and easily, but also that we'll generate interest from the people who live in that neighbourhood and just want to wander in and spend $15 on a ticket and discover, hopefully, a new favourite writer.
Yeah. And I mean, you talk about transport. One of those train stations is like a huge hub,
yeah.
Redfern. There's pretty much no excuse. Anyone can get to Redfern.
And we'll have volunteers who are signing the way. There's shuttle buses from Redfern Station directly to Carriage Works as well. So we're really making it as easy as possible for people to either hop on a bus or just find their way on foot.
And am I correct in thinking, is this the festival's 21st birthday?
Yes, we've gone very traditional. We're having a big warehouse party for our 21st.
Absolutely. And not only that, you've moved out to the inner west.
Mm.
I think maybe that's a rite of passage that many Sydney Siders will recognise. Now, look, this is something every time we chat, I'm hesitant to put you on the spot because the lineup that you've prepared, I think it's a near impossible task to say, here is my pick, here is an absolute favourite. And many events have been hugely popular. So things like Helen Garner's talk on Thursday night are sold out. There's no ticket for Love Nor Money.
No, there's not for that one, unfortunately. But it's one of hundreds of events. So there are still definitely tickets left.
So maybe, could you design for me perhaps your perfect Saturday afternoon if you had no responsibility in and around the surrounds of Everly and the festival?
Yeah, I've actually kind of half selfishly programmed a really great Saturday night at Everly because there's a good chance that by the second last day of the festival, I'll have less responsibilities and can get there. So from 6 o'clock at Carriage Works, you can see Jennifer Egan talking to Jennifer Byrne. I think there are still a handful of tickets left for this, about Manhattan Beach, which is her new historical novel, which follows up her Pulitzer Prize winning A Visit from the Goon Squad. After that, there's a session called Gay for Page that I'm really excited about, and tickets for that are really cheap. They're just $15, where some of the festival's most exciting guests will be joining Sally Rugg to talk about a celebration of queer literature. They'll talk about the overtly queer texts that they used to read in formative years of their lives, as well as the Between the Lines classics. And that lineup is amazing. Poet Yersa Daly Ward, acclaimed Russian journalist Marcia Gessen, the iconic Aileen Miles, Carmen Maria Machado, Pajtim Stotovsky, and Christos Tsiolkos are all on that bill. So that is a very full and fun hour. Right after that, Andre Assaman will be speaking about Call Me By Your Name, mm-hmm. Which many people will be familiar with, and there are still tickets to that left as well. And then after that, another cheap event is People of Letters, where well-known Australians are paired off and write a letter to my other half. And usually it's a pretty safe bet that at least one person will cry on stage. So that's always a pretty fun way to cap off an evening.
Okay, you sound like the sort of person who at a music festival is just running between stages to catch all your favourite bands. So I'm assuming you're going to have a hip flask of wine or something on hand. But, I mean, there are bars on site. You don't have to go without sustenance, though.
No, you can take your drink into Carriage Works. You can carry them across from the Blacksmith's Workshop. There's plenty of bars on site. And the food offerings are really great this year. Carriage Works Market will be in full swing on the Saturday morning, but we've also got stall holders there for the entire week. So there'll be some really great delicious things to easily grab in half hours between sessions.